Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord. And we just decree right now, Father, our hearts are open, our minds are receptive. We have the ability to receive in us the engrafted Word of God, which is able to change us. Father, I thank you that you give me utterance to speak forth and to birth forth your Word and your plan. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we just came off of a study on living a carefree life. And that was awesome. That's where, you know, we got all snow-whited on us, and we're not going to fall down and hit the pavement and cry every time something bad happens to us. And maybe it might seem like the world is out to get you, and it might be. It might be, and that's the truth. Because Satan is the god of this current or world system. He's the god of this world. Even Paul said he's the god of this world. But God is our Father, and we put our trust in him. And Jesus said, in this world you're going to have tribulation, but fear not, for I am with you. So he didn't say that we were going to be delivered from tribulation. He didn't say that everything was going to come up smelling like roses all the time and that everything was going to be easy. He said, you're going to have tribulation, you're going to have hard times, but fear not, trust me. And so we can have a carefree life by trusting him. Amen? Amen. I want to hear a good amen out of that one. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Let's open up to Psalm 124. Psalm 124. I like good psalms. Psalm 124, verse 1. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Who is on your side? The Lord. Who is on your side? The Lord. If the Lord had not been on our side, what would happen? When men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters would have overwhelmed us. The stream would have gone over our soul. Then the swollen waters would have gone over our soul. Bless the Lord who has not given us as prey for their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Who is on your side? If he had not been on your side, what would have happened to you? You'd have been swallowed up. You'd have been devoured. The teeth of the enemy would have chewed you apart. You'd have had good reason to go lay down in the dirt and cry. Right? He is our help. He saves us. When we're going through something, the Lord is our help. He saves us. It doesn't matter what happens to personal stuff, personal things. My goodness, I mean, in all of our movings and everything that we've done and all the stuff that we've been through, we have given away more stuff. We had a practically brand new washer and dryer we couldn't take with us. What did we do? We gave it away. The Lord was our help. We knew that God was going to provide for us. We know that. Because the Lord is on our side. If you're following him, he's going to be there with you. Now, you can't just wander off and go off and do your own thing and expect God to take care of you. But when you're walking with him, he is on your side. He is with you. He's there to help you. He's going to save you. Psalm 118. It's easier for me because I put these little tabs in my Bible. Then I can just, you know, it's easy, but it's just a few pages over to the left. I love that. We escaped the prison, didn't we? We escaped the prison of hell. We escaped the prison of having to try to get things done and do things our own way because he saved us. Psalm 118, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever. Excuse me. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, his mercy endures forever. Do you fear the Lord? Yes, we do. Not in the bad sense. We're not afraid of him. Fear as in the respect, reverence, and honor. we respect him. We honor him. We have fear for him. We fear him. We fear the Lord. Let us say, his mercy endures forever. He is with you. His mercy endures forever. Everyone who trusts in the Lord, let them say, his mercy endures forever. Well, what is his mercy? His mercy is that thing that he gives on us that gives us a better outcome than what we deserved. His mercy endures forever. I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place, a wide place. He set me in a big place. He didn't set me in some cramped little spot where I can't hardly move or breathe. But he took me when I was in distress, and he put me in a big place. You know, I don't like anything tight. I don't like tight shoes. I don't like tight clothes. We were trying on some clothes with Faith yesterday, the other day, and she had on this dress that was just a beautiful dress, and it looked really good on her. She said, but it feels like this. She didn't look like that. I said, well, you take after your daddy then. You don't like tight. Well, God has put us in a wide spot. He's put us in a broad spot. He's put us in a big place where we can have comfort, where we can enjoy him, where we can enjoy his protection, where we can enjoy his peace. His mercy endures forever. Verse 6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? If the Lord is on your side and you're trusting him, what can man do to you? What is the worst possible case scenario in any situation that you're facing if the Lord is on your side? You die. And you go to heaven. And there you'll be with him forever. Free from all the problems in the world. Free from all the stress. Free from all the strife. The worst possible case scenario is you end up in heaven. Isn't that your end goal anyway? Right? I mean, it's your end goal. I mean, that's the game plan. Is when we're done here, we're there with him. So what can man do to you if you're trusting in him? What can man do if you're trusting God? His mercy endures forever. Come on, they might take your business. They might take your family. They might repossess your car. But what can they really do to you? Is that the end? No. It's not the end. It might be the end of the situation that you're dealing with. The car's gone. Oh, well. Now what? Well, now we trust God. We're moving to a place we've never been before. We have no place to live. Praise the Lord! His mercy endures forever. You can't top that. Try and top that. Try and top... they come to you and tell you, your daughter's not doing well. She's probably not going to make it through the night. Top it. Go ahead. Top it. Come on. You can't top that. You can't. God spoke to Abraham and he said, get your family up and go to a place that I'll tell you about. Abraham didn't even know where he was going. Come on. You may not know where you're going right now, but you're trusting God and he's going to take you there. He's going to see you through it. The children of Israel. Man, I saw this great thing. Did you guys see this post? Archaeology thing coming out of Egypt where they were looking for sunken ships in the Dead Sea or the Red Sea, and they found chariot wheels like halfway across, like in the middle of the Red Sea, and bones. Right? We could have told them that it was there. We could have told them that. And they're finding chariot wheels. The axles are just off. The chariot wheels are just off. Do you know what the Bible says? It says the Lord caused their wheels to come off their chariots as they were chasing the Israelites across the Dead Sea or the Red Sea. Gee. Well, if that doesn't encourage you just a little bit that what God said is true, I can't help you. I mean, it just does not get any more helpful as far as I'm concerned. It's proof that the Red Sea was parted and that people were trying to go through. And they died trying to go through. There are pillars on either side of that area that have been there for thousands of years. And they're mentioned in the Bible. There's a pillar here and there's a pillar here that are testimony of to where God led the children of Israel out. It's in the Bible. And the pillars are still there. Well, you know what that tells me? It's true. I mean, I knew it was true. I believed it. I didn't have any physical evidence. But if that's true, what else is true? If they can find archaeological evidence about that, what else can they find? The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Man can't do anything to you that will steal your joy or steal your happiness or steal your peace unless you let them. Remember, we were talking about, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. This just sounds like a continuation of last week, doesn't it? Yeah, it is. Let not your heart be troubled. What can man do to you? What can happen? Again, worst case scenario, you die. Que sera, sera. Now you're dead. Oh, by the way, that verse that I was telling you about, that is 2 Samuel 12:23. 2 Samuel 12:23. We were talking, this is Deb's sister, and she's here visiting. Her husband passed away back in June, and we've been praying for her. And so she's visiting, and we were talking. I said, you know, when we lost our first child, the thing that helped me get through it was the verse that where David said after the son that he and Bathsheba had. And this is what he said. But why should I fast when he is dead? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him one day, but he cannot return to me. That's King David. His baby son has just died. Well, no reason to fast or pray about it anymore. He's gone. This one thing, though, even though he can't come back to me, I'll go to him one day. We've got eternity. God has placed eternity in the hearts of men. And that means men and women, not just men. Praise the Lord. God is on my side. He's for me, and he takes my side. So you don't need to get a whole bunch of people to agree with you. If we can get this down, that I don't need everybody in church to agree with me that I'm right, that as long as I line up with Scripture, and I believe what the Scripture says, I've lined up with him, therefore he's got my back. Right. I line up with him, he's got my side. He's watching out for me. If I'm lined up with Scripture, I don't care, even if Kathy doesn't agree with me. Seriously, because spouses don't agree on everything, do they? Anybody ever have the perfect marriage where you and your husband just agreed, or you and your wife just agreed on everything? Everything was just peachy keen, wonderful. You ever date anybody like that? If you're dating somebody like that agrees with everything you say, they are not being themselves. I guarantee it. Because nobody is going to agree with you 100% of the time. Is that right? Come on, kids. Mommy and daddy always agree with you? No. Did you always agree with your parents? No. Do you still ever always disagree? No. You're never going to find anybody that always agrees with you. But if you can line yourself up with the Word of God and get on his side, he'll have your side. You get on his side, he's got your back, baby. You don't have to worry about it. What can men do to you? He's got your back. He's got you covered. I like that. He's got you covered. He is. The title of today's message is, God is for me. He is not against you. God is not against you. If you have little voices in your head telling you, God is against you, God isn't for you, God's trying to do this to you, or God's trying to do that to you, no, that's not God. That's the devil. You know, what's his name? Oral Roberts. Back in the 1950s, man, he got in a lot of trouble for that. He was one of the first evangelists to come around, and he'd say, God is good, the devil is bad. If it's good, it's God. If it's bad, it's the devil. It's just that simple. God is for you, so the good things that are happening to you are from God. His mercies endure forever. The bad stuff that's happening to you, it is not from God. God did not send it. But God is not going to allow you to go through more than you can handle. You know, we lost two sons. Apparently, it wasn't more than we could handle. Because here we are today. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. John 10:10, Jesus lays it out. He said, the devil or the enemy has come to steal and to kill and to destroy. But the Son of Man has come to give life, and that more abundantly. Abundant life comes from God. Things that kill, steal, and destroy from you are not from God. Well, what about Job? Well, what about Job? What about him? You know, in the New Testament, we're told the exhortation on Job is to look at his end result. Not what he went through, but his end result. And I'll tell you right now, in Job chapter, I think it's 325, Job said, that thing I greatly feared happened to me. What is fear? Fear is trusting in what the devil says he's going to do to you. Faith is trusting in what God says he's going to do for you. When you're in fear, God can't help you. You're not trusting him. He's a gentleman. He doesn't force himself on you. Because fear is actually believing, and this is, I hate stuff like this most of the time, but fear is false evidence appearing real. You can have something in your life that seems very real, but what does God say about you? What does God say is going to happen for you? Has he got your side? Has he got your back? Is he watching over you? Is he keeping you? Yes. So why fear? Why fear? You fear that a relationship's going to go bad? Then it probably will. And it'll probably be all your fault because you're in fear and you allow yourself to think things and you allow yourself to do things that you wouldn't normally do if you weren't in fear about the relationship. Come to the church. I could have fear over different things that have happened, over people saying things, over people doing things. I do that, I'm not trusting God. Someone said, well, you should go chase them. I'm not going to go chase anybody down. We're talking about adults who've made positive, you know, their own decisions. There are things that they have decided that they're going to do. Can I change that? No, I can't change that. Who's the only person who can change a mind? God. There are Christians all over the world who either go to church twice a year, you know, we call them Christers, or they go, every third Sunday, or maybe they, you know, they're in church all the time, that actually believe that God is against them. Well, because God is against sin. God is against the foolishness. God is against all kinds of things. He's against you having fun. Oh, you shouldn't go out and have fun. God doesn't want you to have fun. Well, where's that idea come from? It doesn't come from God. God didn't say don't have fun. He is opposed to sin. But are you a sin? 2 Corinthians 5:17. For he who knew no sin became sin, that you might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Are you the righteousness of God?
Yes.
Well, then he's not against you. He's opposed to us making wrong decisions. Right? Just like we're opposed to our children making wrong decisions. But he's not against you. God is never against us. He is always for us. He is not against you. Listen, if he wanted to demonstrate that he was against you, all he had to do was not do anything for you. Right? Think about that. If he wanted to prove that he was against you, all he had to do was just not do anything for you. All he had to do was just not give you peace. All he had to do was just not save you. All he had to do was just be that somewhere off in the distant etherical God that created everything but isn't involved in anybody's life. That's all he had to do to prove that he was against you. But did he do that? No, he chose you. When did he choose you? Let's look at Romans chapter 5. He is not against you. He loves you. You say, well, I already know that, Pastor. Well, good. Let's talk about it some more. Listen, you know, I mean, if we didn't talk about all the stuff that we already know, what would we talk about? right? It's good to be built up. Washing yourselves in the water of the word. It's cleansing yourself, reminding yourself. Listen, every time we talk about something, it gives us the opportunity to let some of that old yucky stuff that's still there that we don't even think about or know about to be washed away. Right? It's good. Hearing the word of God cleanses us. It helps us. Amen? All right. Romans chapter 5. Verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into his grace in which we stand. Into his grace. Okay, so here's the thing. By faith, we access God. By his grace, we stand. Faith is our portion. It's what we bring to it. We bring our faith. Faith, I keep thinking, you know, we went to a faith school. I mean, I've never taught on faith. Never once taught on faith. Faith, very simply, is belief. It's in the New Testament, if you look up the word faith, it's the Greek word pistos, which is the same word used interchangeably with believe. I believe, therefore I spoke. I had faith, therefore I spoke. These also being of the same spirit of faith, the same spirit of believing. Without, Hebrews 11, without faith or without believing God, it is impossible to please him. Faith is not an etherical force that's out there somewhere. It's just something we simply do. We believe. We believe him. We believe what he said. We trust him. He takes care of the grace part. It's good to understand what grace is, but it's not crucial to your salvation to understand exactly what grace is. Oh, I just don't understand how grace works. If I could just figure out how grace works, then I'd just have it all and it'd be okay. No, stop it. You just trust him. Have faith in him. Believe him. He's going to take care of everything. Through whom also we have access by faith into his grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of glory, of the glory of God. Rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Rejoice. He wants us to rejoice in the hope that we have. He wants us to rejoice in what he's done for us. Rejoice in that. Don't think about all the other stuff that could happen or could not happen. You just trust him. You believe him. He has grace. He's going to help you. Grace is really, it's God's ability working through us when we let him. It's not an excuse to do things you know you ought not do. Should we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid. That's one of our favorite things right there. We do that a lot of time. Should we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid. That's actually what Paul said. No, don't continue to sin and do stuff that you know you ought not do just because you've got grace. That's not what grace is for. Grace is the ability to live God's way. Amen? So by faith we receive the justification. By grace we stand and we continue to work and to live and to have our being in everything we do through him is his ability through us just because we believe. Listen, he's got your back. He's on your side. He's not opposed to you. The world is opposed to you. Why? Because you follow that God. You know, I don't care if an atheist doesn't believe God. I'm not out to argue with them. But have you ever noticed that they're just willing to argue with you? Why are they so angry? I mean, we believe... Do they argue with children who believe in Santa Claus? No. Well, to them, Santa Claus is no more real than God is. Why are they going to argue with you about God? Because it's against their religion. Atheism is a religion. Oh, come on. All right, verse 3. And knowing, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. What? Glory in tribulations? You want me to be happy when bad things are happening to me? Well, why not? You rejoice in the hope of glory of God. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. How many times have you heard me say that? Josiah would be going like, lots. The love of God has been shed abroad in our heart. Why? So that we can love, so that we can follow him. It's been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. His love is shed abroad in our hearts. For when we were still without strength, come on, when we were still without strength, this is going back to when did he become on your side? When did he become on your side? When did he become for you? For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Well, once upon a time, I was ungodly. What does that mean? It means I was without God. Were you without God once?
Yeah.
That's when he did it, when you were without God, when you were his enemy. For scarcely would a righteous man, for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Here we go. Much more then. If he died for us while we were yet sinners and took care of us while we were yet sinners, much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Much more. For if when we were enemies, notice that, we were enemies. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Just a little bit more? No, much more. Come on, much more. Much more does he have for you just to save you from hell. Much more. He is on your side. Much more. When you're going through tribulation, much more. Because your tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Character is the thing that God is looking for us to have when it comes to him. Character is what do you do behind the closed door when nobody's watching?
That's right.
What are you doing when nobody's watching? When you're at home and you're by yourself, what are you doing when nobody's watching? When you're going through trouble and you're all, oh, yes, everything's wonderful, Pastor. And then you go home and you cry and complain and you're bitter over what's happening to you. That's not the character God's looking for. He's looking for the no matter what I go through. My son died. This one thing is sure. He will not come back to me, but I will go to him. Much more does he have for us. Much more. When we mess up, much more. Don't make a habit of it. Much more he's gonna watch over you. Much more. The more our character becomes like him, and the more our character develops with him, much more. We become like him, much more we're going to see evidence of him living in us and through us. Much more. How much more does he care for you now that you're his child? I'm sure everybody's read this story, The Wednesday's Child. And there's these five siblings. Their parents, they've been removed from the home because the parents are drug addicts in Texas. And they've been removed, that the parents are legally no longer can have custody over these five children. The state of Texas offers up, they're looking for a home for these five siblings. So you say, okay, that's a great idea. My heart really goes out to them. I want to adopt those children. Now they're your children. Much more do you care for them now that they're your children. Your heart went out to them when they were not your children. Your heart went out to them and you saw the need that they had. Much more, we have been adopted by God. We are children of God. Much more does he care for you. Much more. Much more. He is on your side. He is watching over you. He's there to help you and to protect you and to keep you. Much more than even when you were before you were with him. When you were yet enemies. When we were yet enemies with God. Much more now. Awful quiet in here today. Much more. Romans chapter 8. Oh, we're not going to get... It's all right. It'll say for next week. Much more. Say with me, much more.
Much more.
Much more. Much more does he care for me. Much more. All right, praise the Lord. For us, he didn't do it for him. What he did for you, he didn't do for him. Who's he doing it for? For you. For us. He's doing it for us. We're the ones who needed it. Remember when Teresa was here and she was talking about covenant? There's a weaker, or there's two parties that come together for covenant. One brings this thing, another brings that. They bring two different things to the table. They make a covenant. The covenant is, we're going to work together. We're in a covenant now with God. There's the God part and there's the man part. God did his part. We entered into a covenant. He's going to continue to do his part. Our part is to have faith. Our part is to trust him. Our part is to stay with him. As long as we stay with him, he's on our side. You follow? There's our part and his part. Oh, come on. I got to find the exact scripture verse on this other one. Give me just a minute. James chapter 2, verse 13 says, "For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment." God's not looking to place judgment on us. Remember in Psalms, his mercy endures forever. His mercy is toward you. His mercies are new every day for you. He's not looking to judge you. You've received judgment. And listen, it's when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we judged ourselves as sinners in need of a Savior. We've been judged. You've been judged. Right? He judged you. He said, you were a sinner. I took on sin and I gave you my righteousness. Now, his mercy triumphs over judgment. Romans chapter 8. Here we go. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. Weaknesses would be the same word that's used for tests or trials, okay? For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. It is for us. When we don't know what to do, he intercedes for us. We don't know what to do in every situation. We believe. God told Abraham, get your family, get all your camels and everything up, and go to a land that I'm going to show you. He didn't say, here's the coordinates, put it into GPS, and Siri will lead you there. No. He said, wouldn't that have been nice? You know, because they didn't have Siri then. And God wanted Abraham to trust him. Yes, Siri can be annoying. Abraham didn't know where he was going. He had to trust God. You don't always know where you're going. You don't know where the situation that you're in is going to lead you to. But here's one thing that's for sure. He has a land of promise for you. He has a place for you. He has a big place for you. A wide place, remember? He's going to take you to a broad place. It's a big place where you're going to feel comfortable. It's a place where everything's going to maybe not always work out exactly the way you thought. But it's going to work out because you're in his place. You're in the place where he watches over you. You're in the place where he's taking care of you. You can't make some things go away. Some things are just not going to go away. I know that's not popular. But you can have peace while you're there. You can have peace while you're going through it. You can have, like the old song, peace like a river. You know that one? Peace like a river in my soul. So he's doing it for us. For us, he makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he, the Spirit of God, who searches the hearts, he searches our hearts, knows what the mind of the Spirit is. So in other words, The Spirit of God, who's searching your heart, knows what the mind of God is concerning your situation. And he's going to pray through you. That's going back to tongues again. Jude said, building up your most holy faith, your belief, what you're believing for. When you pray in tongues, when you pray in the Spirit, God's going to help you. He's going to work things through you because the Spirit of God knows what you need. And so he's going to pray with utterings and groanings that cannot, you don't understand it. You're praying in tongues. But when you're praying in tongues, he is going to minister to you, and he's going to give you peace, and he's going to start revealing things to you that you ought to do, and it would behoove you to do those things. Right? I mean, if it's coming from the mind of God, the purpose there is to help. For he knows the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints. We're not talking about, I don't even know what any of those saints are, the Catholic saints. I didn't grow up Catholic. But you know, there's this whole litany of different saints in the Catholic Church. It's not just for them. A saint is somebody who's separated and called out unto God. Does that sound like you? Have you been separated and called out unto God? A saint is someone who's holy unto God. A saint. The Israel is referred to as the saints of God. Why? Because they're called out. They're holy. They're separated unto God. You are part of the church. You are a saint. You are holy. You are separated, called out unto God. So he's making intercession for the saints according to the will of God, to his will. He has a purpose and a plan and a will for your life. And if you'll get quiet with him and you'll pray with him and you'll let him intercede on your behalf, through you, he's going to start giving you peace. He's going to start giving you a plan. He's going to start helping you. Even if he doesn't show you what you're supposed to do next, he's going to sure as heck give you peace. I'm going to tell you what, I have found more peace when I'm going through stuff and I just go and I walk out in the woods out here, or I go and I into my room and I stretch, not like Snow White, but I stretch across my bed because that's comfortable to me. And I pray in tongues. Why? Because I'm building myself up in my most holy faith. He's helping me. I come away from those times of going out, and I can walk out here in the woods, and I love to do it when there's snow on the ground. I can hardly wait for that to come back. I know not everybody does. But I go out there, and I find peace praying in tongues. I find peace because what happens is I'm getting with him, and he's on my side. He's for me, and he's going to give me peace. I hate to always do this and use Debbie as an example, but she comes up to me today. She says, well, things aren't looking good with EDD. She said, but I have had so much peace this week. Well, praise the Lord, that's how it ought to be. Isaiah 55:12, you'll go out with peace and joy.
That's right.
He wants us to go out with peace. Go out with peace and joy. You don't mind if I take a couple more minutes, right? And we know that all things work together. This is coming right off of, he makes intercession for the saints according to his will. According to his will, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. You are predestined. I am predestined to have God on my side. I am predestined to become in the image of him. I'm not supposed to just be me the way I always was, always and forever. Because I was I would not have been allowed to be her friend. That's for sure. I almost wasn't allowed to be her boyfriend. She was in her 20s. Oh, but they love me now. Those he foreknew. He knew you ahead of time. He knew you. He also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Yeah, that means you get to keep your own likes and dislikes and personality and your goofiness and different stuff like that, but you're still called to be like him. And he said, I only do those things I see my Father do. I only speak those things I hear my Father say. But where does he get that from? He got that from the Word. We line up with the Word of God. We start to look like him. We start to act like him. There's scripture that says that we even become the fragrance of God. How about that? You become the fragrance of God to those that are, the fragrance of life to those that are coming to God. And you become the fragrance of death to those who don't want it. Because what does that mean? It means you're a constant reminder that they're perishing and they're dying, and you're not, and they don't like it. Now, that's the honest truth. Why you get around some people and they just don't like you? It's not a personality issue. It's an eternity issue. They know where they're going, and they're jealous. They don't like it. Amen? Amen. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for your word today. We thank you, Lord, that you are on our side. You're there for us. You love us. You've predestined us into the image of Jesus Christ. Come on, that might be hard for some people to think, well, I could never be like Jesus. Yes, you can. Every single one of us can be like Jesus. Every single one of us is called to be like him. Holy, set apart, following the Father. Anointed for good works. Amen? Amen? Father, I just thank you for this word. We thank you for the engrafted word of God, which is able to change our hearts and change our minds. I bless every person this week as they go forward. I thank you, Father, that every person is going forward with a new revelation, that you're for them, and that you have a plan for them, because he has a plan for you. In Jesus' name, amen.